In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Grace Lutheran Church in Boulder. Wherever you happen to be through the magic of technology, welcome to those who are regularly part of this community, and welcome to those of you who might not have ever been here but have just tracked us down through the magic of live broadcasting and or saved video that's later on. Couple of things before we get started. First, we will be offering the opportunity to receive communion today, but as much as we would love to serve you around this physical table, you're going to have to find your own bread and wine or grape juice. So I encourage you to get that ready now for on your home altar there during worship this morning. I suppose if you would like to participate in communion. If not, you're good. So there we go. Our partner in ministry here for this month at Grace is the Boulder Shelter for the Homeless. Some of you, I'm sure, know that homelessness is an issue that folks deal with here in the city of Boulder, like it is in most cities in this nation and in the world. And as many of you know, homelessness may well become more of an issue now that the economy has taken and is continuing to take a hit from this virus that we're dealing with. So I encourage you to make some contributions to the Boulder Shelter for the Homeless through Grace. Label your contribution Partner in Ministry or PIM. And the first $2,000 that we collectively collect to send to the Boulder Shelter for the Homeless will be matched by the Grace Foundation. So your money goes a little further than it would otherwise. And thank you for those contributions. Two Wednesdays ago, so a week and a half ago, we at Grace had our first Pandemic Wednesday evening prayer, and it was a lovely event. We met outside, we stayed plenty far away from each other, and we all wore our masks, and the scripture was beautiful, and the music was beautiful, and the community was beautiful that got to come together. We're doing this every other week, so that means this coming Wednesday, August 12th, is the next. We're asking that if you plan to come, that you sign up. We've got an online sign-up form that's linked in the bulletin that hopefully you have a copy of, because we're limited by space considerations out in the courtyard. And if you can't make it because you're too late to get signed up, or you just physically can't get here, or you choose not to get here, we will also be broadcasting that liturgy by Zoom, just like we're doing this one right now. So if you got logged on to this one, you can get logged on to that one at 5:30 this coming Wednesday evening. Just as a reminder, a new directory for Grace is available. Look in the back of the bulletin, and you'll find a link to that document. Or if you want a printed copy, let me know, and I'll make sure to get you one. We turn now to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Amen. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance, and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Savior, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair, deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but God was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We read responsively Psalm 85. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Truly, your salvation is very near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness
shall go before the Lord and shall prepare for God a pathway.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So today we find the disciples in a boat without Jesus. Now, just to back up a minute and remember how they got there, kind of like the last week on whatever show you're watching, here's what's been happening. Jesus has spent some time telling parables, a whole bunch of parables in chapter 13. And then, and we didn't get this in our lectionary readings in the week, Jesus went to his hometown but wasn't accepted there. And then we also didn't get this, but we heard about it. John the Baptist was killed. And after that, Jesus went out on a boat to try to get away from the crowds. And this is what we got last week. Jesus going out on the boat to try to get away from the crowds, but the crowds followed him. He couldn't get away from them. So, in response, Jesus heals some that came to him to be healed, and he fed a whole bunch of people, probably like 10,000 or more. It says 5,000 men plus women and children, because back in the day, they seemed to think women and children don't count, but they do, so I'm going to say there were more than 10,000 that Jesus fed. And at this point, we come to where we are today. Jesus sends the disciples out on a boat. He doesn't invite them to get into the boat. He doesn't encourage them to get into the boat. He doesn't suggest that they get into the boat. Jesus as much as forces them to get into the boat and go out into the sea across the way, while Jesus himself goes up a mountain by himself to pray. Finally, he can get away from all the people and just take a break and connect deeply with God. But in addition to just connecting with God, which is important for Jesus to do, and parenthetically is important for you to do, and is important for me to do, something else is going on here in Matthew's gospel. See, because when Jesus goes up a mountain by himself to pray, he's obviously and directly being connected to Moses. You remember Moses, who led the people out of Israel and or out of Egypt into the wilderness and then ended up going up a mountain by himself to pray and connect with God. You remember Moses, a pretty significant figure in our faith story, even more so for the people who would have been listening to and reading Matthew's gospel. Because Matthew's gospel most likely was written to a Jewish audience, and for Jews, Moses is an even bigger figure than Moses is for us who are Christians. So Jesus is connected to Moses. And then, you remember when Moses comes down from the mountain, there were issues and there were problems, and Moses and God had to deal with them. Not necessarily dissimilar today. Because when Jesus comes down the mountain and finds the disciples, the time when Jesus comes down is the darkest part of the night. It's the fourth watch. It's like that time between 3 a.m. and when the sun starts to come up in the morning and it starts to get light again. And this is when Jesus comes down the mountain to find the disciples. And when he finds them, the wind and the waves are attacking the boat that they're on. and they're stuck out there and they can't get to where they're going to. And Jesus wanders out onto the sea, or maybe not wanders, but walks out onto the sea, maybe with direct purpose. Jesus walks out onto the sea and hears them cry out in fear. And Jesus replies to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Connecting himself again with Moses and with God. We don't see it in the English, but the phrase, "It is I," is a bad translation. It should be translated, "I am." Which hopefully makes your ears perk up, because "I am" is the name that God gave for God's self to Moses when Moses asked, "What should I call you? What should I tell Pharaoh? Who should I tell Pharaoh your name is?" And God says, "Tell him I am has sent you." So Jesus comes down from the mountain. The disciples are afraid, and Jesus says, "I am. Do not be afraid." It's a name that God shares with Moses, and Jesus shares this name too with the disciples. At any rate, there they are out on the sea, being attacked by the wind and the waves in the darkest part of the night. And we know, at least I hope we know, that Matthew, the gospel writer, isn't just telling a story about something that happened. I mean, sure, Matthew, the gospel writer, is telling a story about something that happened, but there's more to it than that. Matthew, the gospel writer, is also making a point about our spirituality. The darkest part of the night, when Jesus walks across the sea to the boat that they're in, is sure a reference to 3 a.m. until the sun comes up, but it also references our own life of faith, in which we struggle, in which we feel like we're lost and adrift at sea, in which we feel and experience being attacked as if by wind and waves. I mean, we all have those kind of experiences. Maybe you're having that kind of experience. Maybe the darkest part of the night for you is today. I don't know. It very well might be. Maybe the darkest part of the night for you was back a few years ago when somebody who was really close to you came to the end of their baptismal journey. When someone you were really close to died, maybe that was the darkest part of your night. Or maybe it was that time you lost a job and took forever to find another one. Maybe that was the darkest part of the night. Or maybe it was that time when your boyfriend or your girlfriend dumped you. That was the darkest part of the night. Or maybe for some, certainly for some, the experience of COVID is the darkest part of their night. When we cry out to Jesus in fear, and he replies to us, "It is I am, do not be afraid." But the thing is, it doesn't even have to be the actual darkest part of our spiritual journey when we feel afraid, or when we feel lost, or when we feel battered by wind and waves. I mean, any time when a person cries out in desperation, feeling attacked, and calls to God in fear, Jesus speaks to us, saying, "I am. Do not be afraid." But for me, maybe the most beautiful part of this story, and even more so, maybe the most beautiful part of our faith, is related to Jesus walking out onto the sea to find them in the midst of the storm that's all around. You see, Jesus doesn't calm the sea before he walks out onto it. When Jesus calls Peter out onto the water, the storm is still raging and the wind is still blowing, and Peter sees the wind and is afraid and starts to sink. The storm does not subside when Jesus walks across the sea to us. The storm does not subside when Jesus tells them to not be afraid. The storm does not subside when Peter walks on the water. The storm does not subside when Peter calls out to Jesus and Jesus reaches out to Peter. But then, when they recognize that they're safe, when they're all collected together in the boat with Jesus, when God is taking care of them, when I Am is present with them, then they are in awe of the living God of the universe right there with them. And they bow down and worship. But whether we have Peter's experience of God's presence in the midst of the storm when everything is crazy all around us, or whether we have Elijah's experience where the wind comes and God is not present, and the earthquake comes and God is not present, and the fire comes and God is not present, whichever experience we have, whether God is present in the midst of the chaos or God is not present in the midst of the chaos, either way, God brings peace. God brings peace to Elijah there in the cave. God brings peace to those disciples collected there in the boat when the storm is raging all around them. Because I Am is present with us. Jesus approaches us. Jesus speaks to us. Jesus calls to us. Jesus reaches out to us, inviting our awe at the presence of the living God of the universe in our midst, no matter what. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you. the whole church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confident in your care, O God, and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Your whole church throughout the world, give courage in the midst of storms, especially the storms of the coronavirus and of white nationalism. Help us to see and hear Jesus calling, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." May we follow Christ wherever he leads. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the well-being of your creation, protect waters, forests, lands, and wildlife from exploitation and abuse. Help the human family endeavor to sustain and be sustained by the resources of your hand. Lord, in your mercy. For the nations and their leaders, in you, steadfast love and faithfulness meet, and righteousness and peace kiss. May nations in conflict know the peace that is the fruit of justice, and the justice that is the path to peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those in need, everyone who calls upon your name will be saved. Accompany all who are lonely, hear the voices of those who cry out in anguish, and support those who are frustrated in their search for an affordable place to live. We pray for those suffering this day, especially the people of Beirut. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our congregation, wherever we happen to be for today for Zoom worship, you've gathered us as your people, and we thank you for this gift. We pray for students and teachers preparing for a new and uncertain school year, and for those struggling with unexpected hardship. Supply us generously with your grace for our life together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for the saints of the whole church from all times and places, and for the saints in our lives and in our community whom you have gathered to yourself. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also.
Invite you to share personally, physically, and also electronically the peace of Christ with one another.
Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, one cup. These are signs of your abundant grace uniting us as one in you. Nourish us through these gifts that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna.
To you indeed be glory, Almighty God, for on the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Then again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So with this bread and this cup, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and our celebration, that we may be fed with the body and blood of your Son and be filled with your life and goodness. To you, O God, be all honor and glory today and always. Amen. Lord, remember us in your mercy and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass
against us.
And lead us not into
temptation,
but deliver us
from evil.
For
thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
the glory, and the glory,
forever and
forever ever. And ever.
Amen.
Amen.
People of God, this table is God's table, and Christ is the host here, so all are welcome to this feast. Those of you who are by yourselves in your home, hold on just a second. Those of you who are with other people, I invite you to serve each other, passing the bread to your person, your friend, your neighbor, whoever's with you, and saying, "The body of Christ given for you," as you give them the bread. And then as you give them the cup, say, "The blood of Christ shed for you." It's good and important for everyone to hear those words. And now those of you who are by yourselves in your homes or wherever you are, These words are for you, so I invite you to take the bread now. The body of Christ given for you. I invite you to take the cup now. The blood of Christ shed for you. Body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be. Body of Christ.
Amen.
Blood of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your unifying love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen.
Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and Holy Spirit the Comforter, bless us and keep us in eternal love. Amen.
It is well with my soul.
Go in peace. Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.